Hebrews chapter number 11. My plans were to go on tonight a different steps further, but I just really don't have that liberty of the Lord yet to go to the next thought. But Lord, when we'll get there tomorrow night. I just feel like God spoke last night. I know He did. And spoke this morning too. I'm not the only one He's using. I don't mean to indicate that. But I feel like God still needs to teach some of us something about faith.
Amen, sir.
And if you don't need it, I do.
Amen.
I mean that. I'm telling you, I just... Brother Sexton said last night, and this is a saying we use, that God, Brother Blue, got beyond himself, something of that nature, outdone himself. And I did. I got out there where I didn't know what to do. I'm honest with you. I got out there farther than I knew what to do with. I went as far as I could go with it. But I won't, you know, we sing songs all of our life and we don't sometimes hear the message of them. I quoted this last night, running fast. I didn't say it again where you'd understand it. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I proved Him. O'er and o'er. But listen to this. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Here's my prayer. Oh, for grace.
Yes, yes.
To trust Him more.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter number 11. Let's stand together if you would please. Your Bible open. Hebrews chapter number 11. I want to begin reading down in verse number 8. I dealt with these three verses last night, but I want to read them and then read on down to verse number 12 and skip down a little piece and read again. Thank the Lord again for the good presentations, good Spirit of the Lord. Wonderful service this morning. I encourage you, if you can at all, don't miss the morning session in the morning. And I want to just say this from a pulpit because I'll forget it later. Dear brother, it's going to Alaska, going to Canada. Where'd you go to? Yes, sir. Brother Whittemore's got a story you need to hear. And they went up just and took about four summers on the Alaska side of the Arctic Circle. And visited every village and put Bibles in every village and hut. Every home. Four summers up there, Brother Whittemore.
Took 5 years.
5 years to get it done. It's been about 4 or 5 years ago, hasn't it? But it'd be something you'd be interested in just hearing the story. Maybe some connection there. You know, somewhere up there you get so close to North Pole, Canada and Alaska's not far apart. Somewhere up there they come together. But anyway, I'd forget that. And I did want him to get with you and hear that, some of what God did up there in that. Verse number 8, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8. The Bible said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him that of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one. Now we switch back to Abraham, you notice, in the pronouns. Verse number 12. Therefore sprang they even of one, and him as good as dead. So many that as the stars of the sky, and in multitude, and the sand which is by the sea, sure innumerable. Come down, if you will, please, to verse number... Let's get verse number 17. Verse number 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Look at verse 19. Here's faith in action. accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message from the Word of God for this evening. Our precious Heavenly Father, again, dear Lord, tonight in the throne of grace and mercy, in Jesus' name, I bow before you in prayer. Father, I do want to say thank you for the joy of salvation. Lord, I want to thank you once again. Lord, especially after looking at the slides tonight, I thank you once again. You let me be born in America. You let me be born, dear Lord, here in the South, in the Bible Belt. Lord, all of my life, I've been exposed and have access to the Word of God, the house of God, the people of God, and men of God. Lord, thank you for saving me, calling me to preach, putting me in the ministry, and keeping me there all these years, and for giving me great joy and victory in knowing and serving you. Yet, Father, I pray tonight you make us, especially, Lord, as we listen to these presentations, we saw these slides and these videos. Oh, God, help us to realize the same Christ that died for us died for them. Lord, they are a part of that world that the commission was given to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lord, make us aware of the fact that the gospel didn't begin in America. It didn't begin here in the South. Lord, it began in another country, on another continent. Oh, God, every one of us in this field tonight are here as the fruit of the work of missions by those gone before us. Oh, God, help us to realize that we've received it from one generation to give to our generation, to instruct me in the gift of the next generation, and to keep it going till we reach the end of the world, till Jesus comes. Help us, our Father. Now, Lord, I sure do need you tonight. Again, I ask you to take me beyond myself, and may they not hear me or see me, but may we hear from heaven your will be done. Speak to our hearts from your word. We'll praise you for all that you do, because I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you. May be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, for the message this evening from the Word of God. Now, I want you to take your Bible again for just a moment. Hold Mark, where you're at there in the Hebrews. I'm trying to say every book in the Bible, but the right one. Put a Bible marker there. We're coming back there in a minute. But I want to begin by going to Romans chapter number 4 and read another look at Paul writing about this particular story that I'm dealing with tonight. In Romans chapter number 4, and in verse number 18, here Paul is talking about the same Abraham and the same incident that we're dealing with tonight. The Bible said, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." Thank you. Look at verse number 19. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, and giving glory to God, and he being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform." Now, I know we've all heard that, read it all of our life, but I hope it'll get a hold of us tonight. We'll get a hold of it. God will say something to us. Faith, can I say it? I wish I could do better. Faith is thinking the unthinkable. Believing the unbelievable. Seeing the unseeable. touching the untouchable, grasping the unreachable. I'm trying to say faith is beyond me. Beyond you. God uses us, but God imparts through us a working of God's grace that cannot be attributed to human efforts and fleshly ability. But God takes what looks like hopeless situations and gives hope. God takes what looks like helpless situations and gives help. And He does it as I said last night, as we have a trusting, obedient response to God. Now, I want to just do a little build up where we're at quickly and then come to the heart of the message tonight. You pray God will speak to us from the Word of God. We see in our study tonight these two stories in Abraham. I'll name them and then deal with them as the Holy Spirit directs me. First of all, we're going to see the testing of Abraham in the birth of Isaac. Then we're going to look at the testing of Abraham at the burnt offering with Isaac. And see how faith plays into the things that you and I shout over and rejoice over that happened in Abraham's life. You see, the preacher, what's that got to do with missions? Missions is faith, promise, giving. My burden is, preacher, that God will learn us to fulfill and will fulfill in our life the words of that song I just quoted. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. I do believe there's something inside of us from human nature that if God can do it for you, He can do something for me. And God, no respect to Abraham, to the person. So if God can do it for Abraham, He can do it for Stinnett. He can do it for Bud. No mean to be disrespectful. But I'm saying to you, I'm wanting God to build our faith. And I said, blow it up. Burst the balloon. And release it to action in our life to the glory of God. Very briefly, Abraham's life begins, as I said last night, as far as we know, in the Ur of Chaldee. He's a young man, grown man. His daddy takes him and his brother and some nephews. We know Lot's in there. I don't know who else is with them. And they leave. They come to a place of Aram. They live there for a while, and the daddy, Abraham's daddy, dies. He leaves Abraham, leaves his brother. Well, he had two brothers. One of his other brothers died and leaves Lot. And we know that story. We're not going to go down that road tonight. But after Abraham's daddy died, Abraham starts to leave there and go to the land of Canaan. To the promised land. To a land that God is going to tell him. Look up at the heavens. See the stars. Yes, you're an old man. Yes, you have no son. But if you can count them stars, amen, you know somewhat what your seed's going to be. Yeah. He walks on, and I just beat myself. He walks on Brother Harvey and said to Abraham, said, kick up some dirt there. Amen. If you can count the grains of the earth there, that's what him at your seed is going to be. I really believe there's a meaning, and I don't want to sidetrack, but I believe the stars represents the spiritual seed. Yeah. And the grains of the earth represents the Jews, the earthly seed. Spiritual seed being the church. Abraham said, I don't have a child. And he tries one route with the one born as a servant in his household. And God said, that's not it. After getting tired of waiting, he tries with Hagar, and the Ishmael comes along, and God wouldn't have that either. Now, I got this, and I worked on a timeline, and I'm not going to spend time here. But Abraham was 75 years old when he came into the land of Canaan. When Abraham was 86 years old, Ishmael was born. When he's 90 years old, God confirmed the covenant that he'd have a son. When he's 100 years old, can I back up? When he's 99, nothing's happened. All Abraham had was a promise. If you notice in Romans, watch these two thoughts quickly. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 20, he staggered not at the promise of God. He staggered not at the promise of God. Oh, would God drive that in our soul and establish that in our heart, that God can do and God will do what he said, and we need not doubt. The songwriter said, no need to doubt him now. He's done it before. He can do it some more. And why do we doubt? Why do we stagger? Why do we stumble? Why do we stall? Why do we question God? Abraham staggered not. Now, I want to just say this, and I'm not being comical when I say it. A lot of us in our younger years, and I'm glad it's been in my younger years, but we have been hit with something that just about knocked the air out of us. Somebody did it intentionally or accidentally or knocked the wind out of you. Do you watch boxing or anything like that? You'll see the boxing and the fight's going well. All of a sudden, the sixth inning, a punch comes in and it staggers that man. But God is saying Abraham's faith was so strong that when God, if I could say it, threw the punch at him and said, I'm going to give you a boy, 90 years old, I'm going to give you a boy. And for 10 years, Abraham waited, but he never wavered.
Amen.
He waited, but he never wavered. He waited, but he never wavered. When he's 100 years old, Isaac is born. Why do we stagger at the promises of God? The Bible said that Abraham, not only he staggered not, but the Bible said he considered not. Here's the secret, preacher. Abraham was not looking to Abraham's fleshly ability to fulfill God's promise. And I say to you tonight, I say to myself first, I said to these missionaries and all you men of God that are preachers, I said to every person in this building, if you're leaning on the ability of the flesh, you'll fail. I don't mean to be rude to nobody, but can I just say it? You just don't have it in you and I don't have it in me. But thank God we do not lean down, Seb. We do not lean on understanding, but we lean on the promise of Him who never fails, who never fails. And we can rest, we can accept it, we can rest it, we can live on it, we can stay with it. God said it, thus shall it, and it will come to pass. Now, I read to you in Romans, he considered not the deadness of his own body. And he considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, can I just say this much, and I don't want to wonder and get your mind wondering either. Physically speaking, both he and she were beyond the area and the age of childbearing. I know others had children older than that, but I'm just saying what this King James Bible said. He could not produce and she could not bear. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. But I believe the lesson for us to look at is this. We don't look at what we can do. We don't count on what we can do. I want to say something, preacher, and I don't want it to be anything except reverence before God when I say this. But James, God touched Abraham's body. And he begat Isaac. How did he do it, preacher? By faith. But can I just throw a little extra on right here, preacher? Isaac may have lived, according to the timeline that I can find, nearly 50 years before Abraham died. I'm talking about from the time that Isaac was born. You know what happened, preacher? Don't just stay with me. Sarah died. He married Keturah. Everybody with me? And the same man that had a dead body before God touched it, not only but God, Isaac.
That's right.
He turns around and fathers six children with Keturah. I'm talking about 50 years or so later. All I'm trying to do, don't get your mind in the gutter. Don't stay with me. I'm babbling my own mind by saying this. I'm just simply saying to you, we don't lean on the energy of the flesh. We don't lean up on our own probability and possibility. But we trust the God who cannot fail.
Amen.
God can do the impossible. That God means God likes doing what man cannot do, so God gets the glory out of it. And God's wanting somebody that will trust God to do the undoable, to work the unworkable, and to help others see what God can do.
Amen.
If we trust Him by faith.
Yes.
The baby's born. And I'm going to argue this. These things like this kind of interest me. And if they don't, well, you hang around just a minute. But from what I can tell, Brother Harvey, it looks like it was about 25 years. Isaac would have been close to 25 years in Schofield's timeline. Been about 25 years old when Abraham offered him. I didn't think about him being that old, but by Schofield's timeline, he is something like that. Anyway, whatever span of life it was. I'm afraid you won't come with me if I go this way, but let's be practical. I have a son. Most of you daddies who have a son, of course there's life and health now to deal with life. But I took my boy fishing. Don't run me off. I took my boy to some ball games. That's my boy. And I don't mean it's wrong, but he was not a son of promise. He was just, you know, I know. But I looked forward. I thought, you know, boy, one of these days he's going to grow up and this will happen, this will happen, this will happen. I believe Abraham had those thoughts, Brother Chad. There's a future in that boy. God's going to bless him. One of these days he's going to marry and have a bunch of youngins, bring me a bunch of grandkids, and then the great-grandkids, and on and on. And they look forward to it, and it's going to happen because God said it. And then the unbelievable happens. This is one of the places in the Bible I wish God had added some more detail, but somewhere, somehow, God appeared to Abraham and said, I want you to offer up that boy on the altar. Faith would not let Abraham cry out, what? Me? Offer my only begotten son? But God, but God, but God, but God! Read your Bible again, women. Hebrews chapter number 11. Turn back down. Let's look at it quickly. I'll be through. Hebrews chapter number 11. Look at verse number 17. By faith, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that was had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. I don't think I feel like I'm getting over what I want to get over, but here's a boy that God told me he's going to give me, and God did. I'm putting myself as Abraham. And God told me he's going to raise up a bunch of seed. I look forward to them kids and grandkids. And now God's telling me to put him on an altar. What about my grandkids? What about my seed? What about what she said? None of that happened to Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God. But the Bible said in verse number 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now I want you to look at me just a moment, and I want to deal with this next verse. How could Abraham, how in the world could Abraham take it? How could he stand it? God, you told me he's going to give me this boy, you've given him to me, and now, after all these years, you're going to take him away? Abraham had a faith that caused him to believe that God never changes. I may change, you may change, I hope we don't, but you better not put your faith in flesh. It'll change. It'll fail! Oh, I feel God! But thank God our hope is not anchored in the flesh, it's not anchored in the family, it's not anchored in the fellowship. But our hope is anchored in a God who cannot change, who will not change, who cannot fail, who will not fail.
Amen.
And faith caused Abraham to look beyond the circumstances and listen to God. God said, I want to have some seed. They're going to be like the stars of heaven. Like the dust of the earth. Could I just interrupt and say, hey Abraham, what you think now? He said, I don't understand the circumstances. But I know God. And God said it. I'm standing on it. I believe it. I'll live on it. I'll die with it. God said it. And it shall come to pass. Oh, can I say it? Abraham said, you can trust God even whatever circumstance looks like it's against you. Everything looks like it's going to fail. Look at your Bible, verse number 19. Verse number 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up. Now, Brother Sexton, Brother Harvey, you men of God, I surely don't know everything. But I cannot recall anybody being raised up from Adam to Abraham in the Bible. Maybe there's somebody back there. I'm grabbing a quick thought, Brother James, and if I can help me on that, and I'm wrong, well, please, in the right way, let me know. What I'm saying is this. Faith. It's wonderful to have a president where you've seen it to somebody else. But there are sometimes faith's going to call on us to do things we have no example to follow. Just, can I say it? Plain, straight, obedient, trust. God said it! It's going to happen. Look at your Bible again, verse number 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up. Now look at this just a moment, then we'll read the verse first. You see, Abraham was seeing something that nobody else could see. He's thinking something, Brother Jed, nobody else is thinking about. Faith is taking him beyond that. Look at the last part of verse number 19. The Bible said here, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Now look at the rest of it. From whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham remembers a time when there was no Isaac. His body's dead. Sarah's dead. Can I say it? Isaac came from the dead. Body dead, wound. He came into this world. Can I say it? By resurrection power, man could not do it, but God can. And Abraham by faith said, I'm going to have some grandkids. If I kill it, God will raise them. God said, I'm going to have some grandkids. Faith is not a bunch of ifs or ors or what ifs. No, faith is God said it, thy said it, that shall come to pass. See, Abraham remembers the past. Hang on this now. It won't be long. Brother Sexton, it is so easy for me, and I'm not fussing at nobody but me right now. I want to say this. I read to you, I mentioned it. He's 75 when he comes to Canaan. 11 years later, Ishmael was born. So for 11 years, he had no word, no sign, except God said. And we're going to have seed like the stars of heaven and the dust of the ground. And Abraham did what we're so guilty of. When God don't work, we will. And we don't like to wait. We don't like to be put on the spot. We want instant action. I do. I'm saying we when I say that. Abraham come up with a couple of ideas. A great day in my life, and I hope I've learned somewhat this, brother. God's not looking for ideas. He's not wanting your suggestions or your opinions. I remember sometime years ago, and I'm learning, Brother Drake, I'm learning somewhat about this. I caught myself 4 or 5 times just like God said what I was praying and telling God what I needed. Like God said, are you instructing me? You think you know more about it than I do?
Amen. Amen.
Eleven years, Israel's born. Another year. Now, wait a minute. I'm going too fast for the sex. I want you to get what I'm saying. I'm talking about 11, 365, 24-hour, 11 years. Each one of them, 365 days. That means he got up every morning. I didn't multiply them up for 11 years every day. And I wouldn't doubt it didn't happen every day. I couldn't. But where's my baby? I would. But Abraham's faith said, he's on his way. God said it. I can stand on it. It will come to pass.
Amen.
God just comes by after 15 years when he's 90 and reassures him with a covenant. And maybe it surely will happen now, but a day goes by, a week goes by, a month goes by, a year goes by, and nothing happens for 10 more years. Abraham remembers the past. He remembers in the past, God doesn't always move on our schedule. But he does have a schedule. In his own time, he will move. But not only remembers the past, he remembers a promise. I know I'm repeating, but let me say it again. God done said to him, you're going to have a son. He may have to get up every morning and go out up there and walk with God again and just say, Lord, I remember what you told me. Lord, I'm waiting on it. Can I say this? Lord, when? Lord, how long? Lord, why? But he remembered. I said to you last night, they embraced them promises. It's a substance that hangs on. He held in his heart what he couldn't hold in his hands. But it didn't change God. But he remembered the past. He remembered the promise. And he remembered the power. God took a dead womb and brought it back to life. God took a dead productive system in a man's body and brought it back to life. It may be like Abraham said, I don't know when. I don't know all the hows. I don't know what's between here and there. But one day, I'm going to hold that boy in my hand. Then when he saw Isaac to put on the altar, I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where. But one day I'm going to pick up on my grandkids. He may die! But faith said God's able to raise him up. He lived with that. Now I want to say this, and I am making a big statement. I don't want to dare make it in the flesh. If God promised you something, God will perform. Now, I'm coming down to a very serious point. I want you to stay with me. I'll be through. But section, I need to put this on here. God wants me to put it on here. What we best be concerned about is, was it God promised it? Or did we just want it? Were we in person? I put myself, did some preacher talk me into doing this and make me think it was God speaking to me? I put myself out first, preacher. I want to tell you something. Are you listening to me? I'm talking to every person in the church, but especially you are not preachers. I'm talking to you right now. God will tell you His will for your life. He will not tell somebody else to come and tell you what it is. I marvel at the people who knows the will of God for somebody else's life, but they don't know the will of God for their own life. And when you know people and you know them, they're older, they're settled in the Lord, they know God, nothing wrong with you seeking godly counsel. And by the way, I want to go ahead and say this, I never give counsel apart from the pastor. His members are his sheep, he's their shepherd. I'll be glad to do what he asks me to do to him, but don't come to me to counsel his sheep. That's not my job. I'm not being mean, but I just don't do that. Brother Sexton, I have never come into your community and visited your members to your back and you not know it. Boy, I had to get off on that, but anyway. I'm saying to you, God can talk to you personally about what He wants you to do. You might say, well, preacher, how can I know it's God? There's three things that people trust in. I know I'm scattered. I hope you're getting something from God. Brother Harvey, I remember them days back down there when me and you cried on each other's shoulder and about the will of God and is this God and God in this and I don't know why God, you've told me that. I've told you probably the same thing. How do I know it's the will of God? Sunday morning, God's going to speak to my heart about a faith promise commitment. How do I know it's God? Maybe God's going to speak to my heart about something in this meeting. How do I know it's God? Give you three things to them, sir. Number one, if it's God, it will always be in line with the teaching of the Scriptures. I have a dear friend that has just crossed the line in the service of the Lord. I cannot go with him home. And Brother Sexton, I had to stop some things. Not easy to do, not a likable thing to do. He told me, looking eyeball to eyeball, about a foot apart, 15, 20 inches apart. He said, I'm going to tell you this. I know you don't believe it, but God told me to do what I'm doing. I said, I don't believe it. Am I being mean? I did, Brother Sexton. I'm senior enough to him I could talk to him, and friends enough I could talk to him. If it is contrary to the principles taught in that Bible, God didn't tell you to do it.
Amen.
You said, well, how'd that stealing? I don't care if your hair stood on its end, fell out and come back 14 different colors. I don't believe God's in it if it's contrary to that word. Abraham knew what he was doing was in concordance and accordance to the Word of God. I'm going to say it one more time because I don't like to make distinction in the members, preacher. But I'm talking about them that are not preaching. We call them lay members, so I hope I'm all right to say that. I'm saying to you, if you cannot find scriptural truths that will align with what you're saying without you having to pervert them, if you have to twist the scriptures to meet your ideas, you better drop that idea. Scriptural. Is it scriptural? Number two, I know there's a scripture teaching, but if God's in it, there'll be the Spirit leading. And I want to make this statement. The Holy Spirit is blamed on leading in a lot of things that He don't lead. Because, again, I repeat myself from this point, the Holy Spirit never leads you contrary to the Word of God. Can I say what I want to say? If you feel like doing something and you think it's what God wants you to do, and you give it the test, is it scripturally correct in its teaching? Is the Spirit really leading me to do this? And you can't answer both of them with complete assurance. I'm not talking about a little partial thought, you know, well, I feel kind of, you know, talking about complete assurance. Hold off. Back off. Wait. If it's God, as long as you're not rebellious, God don't mind you waiting to find out for sure you're doing the right thing. My brother called me one Sunday morning early, nearly about 2.5 years older than I. This is in the 70s. And he said to me, Stinnett, how does a man know when he's called to preach? I tell you what I told my brother, and you may, if it wanted to disagree with him, bar me one bit, I'd tell somebody that's still telling that. Brother Sexton, I said to my brother, if you can stay out of preaching and not be rebellious, stay out. If you don't have it settled, don't start until God settles it. Amen? Scripture teaching, spiritually. But then number three, and I'm going to get this in there. And I want to say this now, in line of missionaries and all of us, everybody. If it's God working in your life to do a certain thing, there'll not only be scriptural teaching, to prove to you this is all right with God, Spirit leading to prove it's all right with you, but God will handle the situations, whatever they are. Situations don't control God. God controls situations. Oh, it sounds easy to quote, but with God, nothing is impossible. See, one of the things that ruined me, I grew up with those old-time preachers that believed God could handle things. Brother Sexton, I remember it so vividly. I've been in church all my life, and you've probably heard this back when you were younger more, too. But them old-time preachers would get up preaching, they'd point over at a brick bark wall and say, if God told me to run through that, it's God's job to make a hole, it's my job to run. If I run and God don't make a hole, God didn't tell me to run. I'm telling you, I don't care what God wants you to do. God can remove any hindrance. God can line up everything in order. God can make a way when there is no way. And faith starts in that journey on that. We have a preacher friend, Brother Saxton, that lives down near home, graduated from our Bible college, and has just finished deputation going to India. They'll be leaving right away, but they just had a new baby, and I think it's got to be 90 days old or something like that before they can take it. As far as I know one missionary that lives in India, and I don't know the detail on him. I'm not throwing any stones. I know those who go and come, and I have some friends that do that. I'm not throwing any stones. But this brother says, God told us to go stay. You know what I said? If God told you to go stay, God will make a way for you to stay. Don't come up here and tell me God told me to do this, but it just didn't work out. My mama used to tell me, it's better to keep your mouth shut and let people think you're a fool than to open it and erase all doubts. If God said, brother, if God said, He can bring it to pass. He can bring it to pass. If God don't bring it to pass, God didn't order it. Some of your own ambition, some of your own fleshly desires, influence for somebody else. But faith made Abraham know God said it. And he's standing on the promises unwavering. Waiting on God. I'm closing with this thought. All you preachers know what I'm talking about. I have preached so many messages, Brother Harvey, and wish I knew what God was doing in somebody's heart while I was preaching. You preachers know what I'm talking about. I have gone to the motel room. I've gone to my house. I've drove down the road in that old car. God, what was you trying to do? Lord, who's you speaking to? I'm telling you, God is trying to help somebody learn these two nights. I don't plan to go any further than this, though it just keeps developing that God's trying to help somebody learn. You can trust God. Be sure it's God. Take a stand on it. Don't waver. Don't back down. God will not fail. He'll not fail you. He will not fail. Brother Harvey, and I'm not going to say the wrong thing, but I remember when you left the pastor, and I don't want to bring it, I remember when you left the pastor, and you don't mind me saying this much, there was a lot of questions as to why. He don't mind, y'all know Brother Harvey, we love Brother Harvey, you do too. God don't always answer all the questions. I still got some whys God ain't told me. Amen? But to know God said it. To know God said it. Faith is a trusting, obedient response. He will bring it to pass. We'll yield ourselves to Him. Let Him have His way. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our musicians are coming. I just got involved in this last night, and I went back to the motel room. I think I told Pastor while I was out talking at the church, I didn't know if I was through that or not. I thought it was. It was my plans. And I believe God wanted us to go a step further. I sure don't want to fuss at the missionary wives. Please don't take it that way at all. But ladies, you can believe God. Look up here just a moment. Look up here just a moment. Sister Patsy, don't mind me calling your first name. Sister Drake. How long y'all been in the ministry? 45 years. There's a lot of things you faced and didn't understand, and you faced and didn't understand. I don't understand.